Lovely to be back here again. I've had quite a busy week, previous week. On Sunday, last Sunday, I was at New Wine in Shepton Mallet. I've never been there before, but I was asked to be on a stand for the Sailor Society in the something they call the Marketplace. And it's where they got all these other Christian charities, just sort of showing you the work that they do. So I was asked to be on that stand, so that was quite a busy day, but lots of good conversations. And then on the Monday, I went to Bilth Wells in near the Brecon Beacons for the Royal Welsh Show, and that was just bold councillor. I think it's the biggest show in Europe, so it's a huge event. And I've been going there for the last 3 years with a team called Show Jesus. They have a big marquee tent, and it's filled with tables and chairs, and people come in to rest their weary limbs and have a cup of tea and squash. They do children's activities like a puppet show and face painting. And my role there is to come and just mingle with the people that come in and to talk with them. Well, anybody who knows me know I like a good chat. So a chat and a cup of tea, and I'm just kind of engaging with the folk that are sat there having a drink, and the Lord's just opened up many lovely conversations. So it's the third year. So on the first year I met various different people, and some of these people come back year after year, day after day, and I would say to renew friendships that I'd had made on that first visit, and then the second visit, and now the third one. And I would just rejoice at just picking up where I'd left off in many of these conversations, and also just praying with people, the stories that people had. Some suffering with ill health and maybe problems at home or problems within the church, because we never have those problems here, do we? And just kind of just to lay hands on them and pray for them. So it's a full-on week, and I was just sharing with somebody when I came in that I'm still quite tired, because when we go to the place of rest where we were sleeping in Bilth Wells in a community centre, they put a lot of us together, all the men in one room and the women in the other, and the sleeping arrangements were very noisy. It was like the watering hole at the Serengeti, with the snoring. God, dear. And I had a very bad night the first night, and I vowed to do something about it on the second night. So I managed to buy some earplugs. I had a pack of eight, and I was going to stick all eight in my ears if it meant I was going to block out the noise. But praise God, it worked, and I was able to sleep and carry on throughout the week. But it's just a lovely opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and to be very practical in that love, just reaching out to people. And many comments people gave how they were able to just come in. Young and old were there within this tent, and just to kind of just have laughter and fun, and to be able to talk openly. And for some, maybe for the first time, to discuss the things of Jesus Christ. I prayed on the last night I was there with one of the traders, a young man who had shared with me that he, some while back, he had pneumonia, and they put him in an induced coma for 3 weeks. And he was just telling me this this dream, if you like, I don't know what you could call it, where he visited heaven and hell. It's quite vivid, and I don't know what to make of it all, but his description, he doesn't come from a religious background, okay, so it's not something he's just to pull from past experiences. In fact, he was quite anti-Christian and everything else, really. But his pictures of heaven, where he said that, he had the most intense feeling of joy and happiness and well-being. And then he had visited hell as well, and he said it looked quite ordinary, really. And, you know, there were buildings and stuff like that, and nothing seemed out of place. But he said, I had a very intense feeling of sadness and wretchedness and unhappiness. And I found that quite interesting, really, his observations. But I was able to just speak into his life about the significance of Christ. Because he did say to me, there were two people speaking to him in this dream, if you like to call it. And he could hear a voice that was trying to speak to him, but these two people were like a distraction. And on the third attempt, this voice said, raise your hand and trust in Jesus. Which, again, I found it very interesting. So anyway, I was able to just talk to him about Jesus Christ and the love of God and how we can know for that confidence in, you know, forgiveness of sins and a hope for the future. And I prayed for him. And so it's in God's hands now. But these were some of the wonderful things that were going on at this show Jesus. And now that's done. And next week I'll be back on the ships talking to the seafarers. But, you know, wherever I am, I just want to be able to share the good news of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. When, as I came back, you know, with all these things in my mind and, you know, a physical tiredness and, you know, challenges ahead, the Lord led me to a passage of scripture that has been a blessing to me in the past. And I just kind of felt led to share it again, really, and hopefully it'd be a blessing to you. It's from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Some of you may be very aware of this passage. I know, I think somebody called Bruce Wilkinson made a ministry out of it. Well, I just want to kind of just concentrate on these couple of verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. That's it, two verses. But there's a lot in those two verses. And I find it quite interesting, just earlier we were just looking at the significance of names and that God knows us by our names. And so here we are now looking at a passage of scripture that where the name is the kind of centre of all of this story. Now Jabez, he doesn't stand out of the scriptures like Moses or David or light up the Testament like one of the disciples. But one thing is certain, his prayer made all the difference. The first nine chapters of Chronicles are taken up with the family tree. You have the kind of list of the Hebrew tribes, beginning with Adam and then proceeding through many years to Israel's return from captivity. Over 500 names. Now, I don't know if you've read through Chronicles. I suspect many of you have. When you come across a whole load of names, it can become a bit tedious, a little bit boring, unless you're right into some of these things. But 44 names into the chapter, the historian pauses for a moment and seems to say, now, wait a minute. There's just something about Jabez that I've got to tell you. Right in the middle of all these names, hang on a minute, let's just have a look at Jabez. And the story begins with the name. His mother named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." It's not a good start in life, is it, really? I actually, last month, I became a granddad for the first time. I know I don't look old enough. but yes, quite worryingly, yes, I am now a granddad. And my other daughter actually is going to have a baby in October. So I'm going to be twice in 1 year. But we've been talking a lot about names and suggestions. Pretty much every suggestion me and my wife's given has been a no. but it's, you know, it's important because you know that name is going to be stuck with that child then for the rest of their lives, unless they get that sick of it and they change it by default. But, you know, a name is really important. And for Jabez, his name, you know, is so significant for him. Solomon's name means peace. That's nice. I try to encourage my girls to give, you know, I like biblical names because there's a lot of meaning behind it. My daughter chose Elvi, so don't ask me what it means. It's kind of made up, really. But anyway, that's her name, and we love her. She's an absolute peach, and I can't wait for my next cuddles with her. So Solomon, he's given the name peace. Lovely, wonderful. Jabez's name means pain. Pain. Or he will cause pain. In the King James Version, it means sorrow. It's not a good start in life, is it? I expect he had a few words with his mother later on about her choice of name. But clearly, the turnaround for Jabez starts from his simple but direct prayer. Now you can look from the beginning to the end of Scripture and you won't find anything else written about Jabez apart from these two verses where things start really badly. It's all in the name. He prays an unusual one-sentence prayer and things end up really well for him. And I'm somebody who's very much into prayer, and I want to increase my prayer life and expand my prayer life. I see great importance in it, and I'm quite excited, you know, that this sort of two-verse prayer makes so much difference for Jabez. But that bad start in his life didn't hold him back. He believed in God, and he believed in the God of new miracles and miracles and new beginnings. So Jabez says, "Oh, that you would bless me." Now, back in 2005, actually, I'd been made redundant and I found myself desperately needed some work quickly. And I took on heavy goods driving because I happened to have a license. I'd never used it, but I needed to do something quick. So there I was in the kind of autumn time of 2005 driving a heavy goods lorry. Now, for me, I'd finished a job that I loved. I was in the building trade. It was a great job. I was with lots of people and we had banter and fun, and I liked the work that I was doing. And now I'm in a lorry on my own. You know, driving around places that, you know, I'd end up getting lost. And it's no fun getting lost in a heavy goods lorry because you can't just do a U-turn in the middle of a road. So there were lots of pressures on me at that time. But also, you know, I'm somebody I'm always sharing my faith with people. I like that, you know, conversation, communication and pointing people to Christ. I've always done it, you know, since I've been a Christian. And now I'm in a lorry, you know, on my own. And I remember quite clearly knowing about this. I knew about this prayer of Jabez. And it came to my mind one day while I was driving along. And I said to the Lord, you know, I don't feel blessed. I don't feel like I'm in a good place. And as for that kind of territory in what I felt, you know, you've given me, you know, over the years, I kind of felt it shrunk and almost disappeared. And I remember crying out to God, you know, that he would bless me, you know, and I say it quite loud because I was on my own. Oh, God, oh, that you would bless me. And I really committed my life to the Lord again in that lorry on that day. Now, I can reflect back over many years, and God quite clearly heard my prayer, which is why I love this passage of Scripture. It worked for Jabez, you know, that honesty, you know, that crying out to God. It worked for him, and it worked for me. And, I, you know, my prayer is today that some of you may also pray into that. I don't know, there may be some here today who do not feel blessed, who do not feel that God is, you know, working in your life. You know, you've, for some reason, you've lost your way and you wonder where it's all gone wrong. Well, there's an opportunity today to cry out to God and ask for him to pour his blessing upon your life. Now, to bless in the biblical sense is to ask for or to impart supernatural favor. Okay, when we ask God to bless us, we're asking him for more of his unlimited goodness. You know, we often think of blessing is like you sneeze, bless you, or like bless you, that sort of thing. It means so much more than that. It's not something that we can acquire of ourselves. It can only come from God. You can't go up Tesco's or Aldi or somewhere like that and get it off the top shelf. God's blessing comes from him. And you'll notice with Jabez, he left it up to God what that blessing would be. That's all important. He didn't, you know, he didn't say, look, you know, I need a new car or a nice house, and you know, then I'll be really blessed. He said, oh, that you would bless me. This prayer encourages us to ask for nothing more and nothing less than what God wants for us. You know, we're just tapping into the will of God. Remember, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Richard Trench, he was the Archbishop of Dublin in the 19th century. He said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his willingness. You know, it's not about trying to twist God's arm to, you know, to get him to do something for you. God wants to bless us. He wants to pour his goodness upon our lives. He's not a stingy God, you know, who's, you know, reluctant to do anything for us. God wants to bless and encourage his people. And I really understood that while I was sat in, you know, in this lorry, feeling very sorry for myself, feeling quite miserable. And I suddenly understood that, you know, God wanted me to call out to him. God wanted me to seek his goodness upon my life. And I began to cry out to him. And I still pray that prayer even today, even knowing, you know, that provision and that blessing upon my life. I see that God has an abundance of goodness that he wants to pour out on each and every one of us. And, you know, I leave it up to him. You know, whatever it is you know, you want to pour into my life. But, Lord, more of your goodness. More of you, Jesus, upon me. Please, Lord, pour your goodness upon my life. So Jabez, he cries out to God, oh, that you would bless me. Then he says, oh, that you would enlarge my territory. And this is much more than asking for more land. Jabez wants more influence, more responsibility, more opportunity to make his mark with God. This plea is for God to enlarge our lives so that we can make a greater impact for him. You know, give me that responsibility, Lord, so I can make that mark for you. Everything you put under my care, Lord, take it and enlarge it. Now that may be family, relationships, ministry, your work. Lord, impact and influence those things for your glory. And I can see that for Jabez, you know, enlarge my territory so the glory may go to you. And certainly for me, if I reflect back at that time in the lorry on my own, you know, things had gone pear-shaped in church as well. In fact, just about everything seemed to disintegrated and fallen apart. And now I look back over those years, you know, God got me out of that situation with the lorries. He, within a year, I think it was within actually 2 months, he got me doing one day a week on the ships. That's voluntary work. And I was back in the building trade, back sharing my faith and seeing God working in a very clear and wonderful way, and obviously providing for me and my family. And here I am now, full-time in ministry on the ships, doing other things like the show Jesus and stuff like that. The Lord, in recent times, has got me a regular slot on Radio Bristol doing the Thought for the Day. I never thought I'd do anything like that, you know, but through there, you know, for Radio Bristol coming to the port to do a show, and then being asked to do this Thought for the Day, and now, I don't know, I've done it 7 or 8 times now, regularly, and it's all for God's glory. You know, but, you know, I went from in a very difficult place, saying, Lord, enlarge my territory. I want to do more for you. You know, use me. And God just, now I'm in a situation where, I'm sort of questioning how much God's given me to do. You know, can I cope with all these different things? But it's lovely because then I go back to the Lord and say, you know, guide me, use me, speak through me. But God is certainly, he's certainly blessed me. He's blessed my family. Yeah, we do get the still get hard times, don't get me wrong. But it's the fact that God responded to that cry, you know, that he would, pour his goodness upon my life. I went from a place of kind of felt like desolation to God greatly using me again in so many different ways, more than I could imagine. I'd no dreams of some of the things that I'm doing now. And here I am, God is using me greatly. And then Jabez says, let your hand be with me, which is very important. He's saying, I can't do this on my own. I need you with me. I don't want to go through these things without you. I mean, Jabez, he could have turned his back on it all, or he could have carried on as long as he could in his own strength. Instead, he chose to pray, be with me. In fact, Jesus has reminded us, without him, we can do nothing. And this is a prayer that I continually ask God that he would speak through me. I did it when I was in the car. You know, it's something that I kind of battle with in my own self, you know, those feelings of, you know, not being adequate, not being good enough to do these things. And I cry out to God, speak through me, use me. And I always say to people, if God can use me, he can certainly use you as well. He can use you in whatever way he wants to. And so Jabez, he says, let your hand be with me. You know, in our Christian life, we shouldn't try and go out on our own, because we're gonna fall flat on our face. We need that indwelling presence of God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in our weakness, God can do great things. And he promises to do great things. And for Jabez, he said, let your hand be with me. We all need that touch of greatness upon our lives. And then Jabez says, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. interestingly enough, the New King James Version says, "And that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." You know, the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, and you know, you could be in that time of blessing, and you're just loving it, and it's great. But if you take your eyes off the Lord, and you're not spiritually alert and aware of what the enemy's, that the fact that he's prowling around, he can suddenly come and whack you for six, and then before you know it, you're flat on your face. And so it's good to kind of, you know, to be alert. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be aware that the enemy doesn't sleep. He doesn't rest." And, you know, we need to be a prayerful people. We need to be continually seeking the Lord's hand for his protection upon our lives. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So let's go back to that, those two verses, where Jabez said, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And then how does it conclude? It said, "And God granted his request." If Jabez had just prayed a very selfish, self-centered prayer, and it wasn't what God wanted for him, nothing would have happened. But I believe because God granted his request, it's because it is the will of God. You know, that God wants to bless his people. I don't know today just where any of you are, but I just strongly encourage that you come to God. Maybe when you're back at home, in that quiet place, and just call out to God. Are you satisfied with what God is doing in your life at the moment? Are you, you know, is it enough for you? Or are you somebody who says, "I can't get enough of God's goodness upon my life"? I certainly can't get enough of him. I love sort of that knowledge and understanding that he is just pouring his goodness upon me. You know, each day I rejoice in the abundance of God's goodness upon my life. More of him, more of his goodness. We can see what the enemy's doing in the world, and we're pretty sick of experiencing those things. More of his goodness, not only in our lives, but in our church and in our communities and across this land. Lord, bless this country. Pour out your goodness upon this country. So as I draw to a close, it's a very simple message today, but let it be our prayer to see God's outpouring of his goodness upon our lives. Maybe there are people here who feel you would want to do more in service for the Lord, but you feel there aren't the opportunities. You know, you can't see what can I do. Lord, enlarge my territory. Help me to do more for you, and work through me. Let your hand be with me and keep me from evil. It's a good prayer, a wonderful prayer. And I want to encourage each and every one of you today. Certainly in my life, it's made a massive difference. And it's not because it's anything particular about that prayer, but I think it's the nature of coming to God in asking for more of him in our lives. It's a good thing, and it's to be encouraged. And I would love to think that there would be people here today who say, saying to the Lord, yes, more of you in my life, and more opportunities for me to serve you in maybe in ministry, whether it's, you know, something small or big. And that, you know, you would desire that the Lord's hand would be upon you and all that you do. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Our God is a great God, but we live in a time which is quite challenging. You know, the Christian values are being eroded. This country is very secular in its the way it looks at things, and the things that we hold dear as Christians are being challenged daily. And we can feel very much like we're on the back foot. You know, we're on the defensive, and you know, all those things that we hold dear seem to be slipping away. Well, we need to come up against it. Come on, Jesus. Come, you know, move in my life. More of you. Come on, you know, pour your goodness upon this land. More of you. Enlarge our territory for this church. Are we happy with the amount of people that are involved in it? But do you think the good days are gone? Or is God able to do much more than he's ever done before here? Of course he can. He's God. He can do anything. We've just heard about a God who has named and created billions and billions of stars. You know, God can do amazing things. But it needs for his people to rise up and say, more. Not, well, that's it. Our God's a stingy God. He's not going to, he's not going to be doing anything now till he returns. No, you know, more of the Lord in our lives, personally in our lives, in this church and in this land. But be encouraged. Our God is a great God. He's a generous God, and he wants to bless his people. And I would love to hear the next time I come here, some of you will say, do you know what? I put that prayer into action and God blessed me greatly. I would love to hear that. Let me close in prayer because time is gone. Father God, we just thank you for that simple two-verse prayer. We thank you particularly for the honesty of Jabez and for the generosity of yourself where you granted his request. Lord God, you know that I'm somebody who feels you can't do much, but I believe in a God who can do great things. And I ask, Jesus, that you would use this message today, that you would inspire your people to come to you and to seek more of your goodness upon their lives and upon this church. Lord, raise up our expectations of what you want to do in our lives, Lord God. Bless us, we pray. Particularly bless those who are unable to get to this church today through ill health or other problems, Lord God. Bless them. Break the power of sickness upon the lives of so many people in your church, Lord God. We pray for answered prayers, Lord God. We pray for the miraculous breakthrough, Lord God, where we could see the evidence of your kingdom power upon our lives. More of your goodness, we pray, Jesus, to be poured upon us. And bless this church, I pray, in your precious name. Amen.